Ross Hamitzia, the Mishnah Daf Yud Amid Aleph, Vinofal Aleha, Ubacher, Vihichsikba, somebody grabs it away from him, Zeshihichsikba Zachaba. This seems to undermine the principle of the Takana of Arba Amos Konosla, but that's going to be the subject of the Gemara. The Mishnah itself says that somebody could grab it away from him because he didn't do a Kinyan. It was very nice that he fell. He threw his body on top of the object, but he hasn't acquired it, and the Torah requires a Maisa Kinyan. So Nefila is not considered a valid Maisa Kinyan, and since the first guy who fell on it was not Zochet it, even though it's within his four amas, the second guy can therefore take it away from him. Fine. So Amrei Shlokish, the Gemara is now going to ask a kasha from the Kinyan Dalet Amas. Reish Lakish says in the name of Abba Kohen Bardala, one of the Chachamim, the Gemara Makis on Daf Yud Dalet Amid Beis mentions that name, and it seems that Bardala might be a combination of two words, Bardalo, being the son of Dalo, and there was a person whose name was Dalo. Now today I think Dalo is not a common name at all, but anyway. So Arba Amo Shal Adam Konoslo, Bechol Mokom, knows wherever he's standing, on each side, we take a four amos radius, and anything that falls there is his. Now, at this point, I want to share with you the Ramban. The Ramban says that Rak b'mitziyah v'hefker tiknu arba amos konoslo. That only in a case of an ownerless object can a person acquire ownership through this takon of Arba Amos. And also in the case of Get, they made a similar takana, and that was because of Igun, you know, that a woman shouldn't be an Aguna. So they said that if he puts his Get into her four Amos, she's called his Get. Avol b'mecher umatana, but let's say I want to sell you an object. Is enough that I put that object within your Arba Amos? I want to give you a gift. Lo shayach tamzeh. There was nothing pressing the Chachamim to institute this takana of Dalet Amos. So we're not going to apply a kind of a low plug aloch and say, well, Dalet Amos Konoslo is considered his chaser for all kinyonim. It's only going to operate with Mitzi and Hefker in the case of Get, but not in the case of Matana and Mecher. And it's funny because the Gemara says, Arba of Amoshalanim Konoslo Chalmakim. The Gemara doesn't differentiate between Hefker and Mitzi and other kinds of kinyonim. Now the Ramban himself, after quoting those Rishonim in that opinion, he disagrees. And he says that the Kinyan Arba Amos Moel is meaningful even in Matanu Mecher, Kevin Shetiknu, Lo Lechatzoim Tiknu. They didn't say, well, it's your Chatzer for this and for that, but not for that, not for that. No. But rather, it's your Chatzer for any Kinyan whatsoever. Ube Mecher Matanu Kal Vechomer Konos. In other words, if it could be Konah, even where other people have a shot at it, and it excludes other people, then how much more so is it yours to be Konah when somebody is Machner, and there's a Das Acheres Mach? Now, Tosvis seems to give you the impression that it really depends upon the Gemara that we're going to learn today. So I'm just setting the, you know, sending out a warning bell that the Gemara is going to give two different answers to a question that it's going to ask from Peah and from the Zikin. And it could be that according to the first answer, Tosfos is going to insist that the Takon of Arba Amos is only, is exclusively a Mitziyah, Hefker, and Get. Whereas according to the second answer, which we'll see in the name of Rav Sheshes, they made it Takon of Bechol Inyan. The Rashba asks the following kasha. If you assume, like those Rishonim, and according to Tosfos, it might be one day in the Gemara, that Arba Amos Konoslo, even B'mecher Matana, then why do we need Bechlal, a Kinyan Akbar, a Kinyan Mashiach, a Kinyan Mesir, any kind of Kinyan Yad? They all seem to be totally unnecessary, totally superfluous, because in any case of Agbar, Mashiach, Mesira, the object is within your Dalet Amos, so you should be Konu with Dalet Amos. So the Rashba answers that Arba Amos Konoslo only im hakone kadam lechefetz, which means the following. First, I have to get to a certain point, a certain location, X we'll call it, And once I'm there, now I can set up a chatzer. If a chefetz now comes into my chatzer, so the knisas ha-chefetz l'toch chatzera, which in this case is Dalet Amos, that itself allows functions as an acquisition. So for example, let's say that there's a mocher and a lokeach, and the chefetz was here. Now I want to sell it to you. And you come and walk towards the chefetz. HaChefetz HaYemunach Shom Kodem Shebo HaKone, says the Rashba, in such a case, Ein Arba Amos Konoslo. Why? Because the Baal HaChefetz got there first, he put down his object, now he wants to transmit the object to you, transfer the ownership over to you. He already has a kinyan on that radius of 4 amos. When you walk in as the lokeach, as the kone, you cannot acquire ownership on those dalet amos. They're already possessed by the Baal HaChefetz. But in the case of Metzia, and we're going to see later on, the Gemara is going to apply this to Peah as well, then Arba Amos Shel Odom Koneslo, even if the Metzia was there first. Why? Because there's no one else there that got to these four, you know, proximity of the 4 amos before you got there. So there's no one who can claim that he owns the 4 amos. In the case of a mocher and a lokeach, I was there as a mocher before you came as a lokeach. Therefore, when you walk into my space, you cannot be kone of the 4 amos. And therefore, I need a kinyan meshicha, a kinyan mesira, a kinyan agbah. But in the case of Metzia and Efka, there's no competition here. No one owns the Dalet Amos. And therefore, you could be Kona, those Dalet Amos, even if the Chefetz was there before you. Mashenkin, in the case of Mocher, if the Mocher and the Chefetz were there before, then what we're going to assume is that you can't come later and now make a Kinyan on the Chefetz because the Dalet Amos is already Konoslo. So this, my friends, is a summary of what we learned yesterday, that Arba Amos Shel Odom Konoslo, the Rabbanim made a takana of a Kinyan Arba Amos, and the Gemara is going to explain why the Rabbanim made such a takana. My taima, why did they do so? What motivated them? Shetekin Rabbanon. And the answer is, Delo Asi Li'in Suye. They wanted to maintain the peace and the harmony amongst the people. Imagine if there's an object that's out there in the wild, out there in the Hefker place, and everybody's going to fight in order to get there first, and they're going to kill each other over the object. So in order to avoid insuye, in order to keep the peace, what we call Mishum Darkei Shalom, they establish that the first one who gets there, even if he hasn't picked it up yet, he makes a kinyan on the object because of this takon of Arba Amos Konoslo. Obviously, we're talking about a Rishus HaRabim, and even though you cannot acquire ownership over a Rishus HaRabim, it's publicly owned land, territory, and therefore it's not your chotzer, but nevertheless, the Rabbanu made it into your chotzer. Now, we're going to have to figure out why Rav Yochanan adds these two words, Bechol Mokom. Is he indicating that the kinyan of Arba Amos would operate even in a privately owned area? We normally identify the kinyan of Arba Amos as Rishus HaRabim. What about a privately owned area? So this might depend upon the question that we touched upon earlier. Yosef, you aren't here, so just clue in. And that is, did the Rabbanan make this takana only for Metzia, or did they make this takana to apply even for Mekach Umemkar? So in the case of Mekach Umemkar, I can say to you, look, I want to sell you this object, set yourself, anchor yourself here in my private area, and I'm going to bring you the object. And even before you make a Kinyan Agbah Meshicha, you could be koneh through Dalet Amos, perhaps. I don't know. All this has to be worked out. But in any event, Rabbi Yochanan says, Bechol Mokom. Now, it could be that Bechol Mokom is Lav Dafka, and it could be that you need a different kind of a Mokom. Now, I've been mentioning a Rishus HaRabim as opposed to a privately owned area. There might be other areas in between. Like, for example, in Hilchos Shabbos, we talk about a Karmelis, and you can talk about a Simta, and you can talk about a Sadeh. You can talk about many different areas or wilderness area, and you wonder, even if it's not a Rishus HaRabim, would you be Kona in such an area? And that for sure I think you would be. And then we have to discuss the question of a privately owned area. Omar Abaye. Abaye makes the following statement. And this is the first of a series of questions that he's going to ask. He quotes for the first question Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef. Mosif, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef had a stira from Peah. And we're going to learn a din in a Mishnah in Masechta Peah. And that's going to be the first kasha. And that's the kasha that is Rabbi Chiya's kasha. Then we're going to have a second kasha from a Mishnah elsewhere in Ezekiel. And that's going to be Rava's kasha. Omar Rava, Mosif Rav Yaakov bar Idi Nezikin. So he had a kasha from a Mishnah in Seder Nezikin. Now it's interesting, the Rashash asks, why in the case of Peah does the Gemara or Abaye identify the exact Masechta? It doesn't say Beseder Zroim, it says Bepeah. But when he gets to a Mishnah in the Zikin, he calls it Masechta Zikin. So the Rashash points out that all three Bavos are called Nezikin. So that although we would have said Mosif La Rav Yaakov Mi Bav Metzia, but nevertheless we call it Seder Nezikin because at the time of the Gemara it was called Seder Nezikin. There were no three separate Bavos. So let's go through the two kashas one by one. First, Omar Abaye, Mosif Rav Chiya bar Yosef mi Peah. And this is the Mishnah in the fourth parak of Peah. It says that a poor person, not al miktsas Peah, he picks up a little bit of Peah that he already collected. He collects his Peah into one place and then he lifts up part of it. And Vizorak al Ashar, he takes that part of the Peah and he throws it on the rest of the Peah, which he hasn't yet lifted up. And the Mishnah says, "Ein lo ba klum." You cannot take Peah or any other, you know, vegetation, throw it onto another piece of Peah and thereby acquire ownership. But and the same, excuse me, applies Nafal Oleh, if he falls onto the Peah, or Paras Talisa Oleh, he throws his talis, his begging on top of it, is in all of these cases, the Ani is just hoarding Peah, but it's not his Peah. He is not acquired ownership over the Peah. So far it sounds very similar to our Mishnah. And therefore, Mavirna Oso Heimena. And what happens here is, there's something called a Knas. In other words, technically, we don't have to remove him from the Peah. At some point or other, hopefully he gets up, or he lifts up his talis, and he makes an actual Kinyan Akbar on the Peah. But in this case, we're going to throw him out. We're going to force him to give up his shooting for this Peah. We're going to have to move him away and get rid of him. He's not going to be able to acquire this Peah, even though he's an Ani, and even though he's already indicated that he wants to make it.
It's not that he is, isn't it that he's not going to be able to acquire it, but he's not going to be able to prevent others from acquiring it.
Well, actually, listen to the Rambam's language. Lokhin miyado afilu mashekfar natal. Even if he picks it up, we're going to take it out of his hands. This is the knas. The Rambam is in Perek Beis Milchas Matna Saniyim. Afilu mashen natal lokhin miyado venostin lioni acher. And the Rashba quotes the Tosefta, which is the source for this Rambam. Natal pei v'zorek al ashar ein lo baklum v'konsin also v'notlin hemenu. We take away both. This is interesting. Even the payah that he picked up, we're going to take out of his hands as a knas. And although the Tosefta quotes Rabbi Meir, the Rambam holds that it's not just Rabbi Meir, but everybody agrees to this. And I'll read to you a quote from the Ram Shif. Mashmash is a knas bikach from Mishnah Omer ein lo ba klum umavirin oso. Look at the lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says ein lo ba klum, and the language of ein lo ba klum implies that we take away even that payer that he has legitimately picked up. Now in our Mishnah, we're not going to say that if he throws his body on top of Mitzia, that we're going to penalize him and he's not going to be able to lift his body up, you know, straighten out his body, stand on 2 feet, and then make a kinyan on the hefker. The Mishnah only says that somebody comes along and he made a kinyan first. He was Maxico, so well, what's the language of the Mishnah? He was Hitzikba. That's one thing, but in Peah, the Mishnah goes much further. It says, "Ein lo bo klum umavir no soimenu."
Well, the Hitzikba was Acher. He wasn't the one who nafal alev.
Right, so in the case of Hitzikbo, we're not saying that Mavir no soimeno, we're not saying that, you know, let's say he had a 5-minute break until someone came and he lifted it up, we're not going to say he has to cough it over and forfeit it to the person. The other person got there before he made a kinyan. That's called Hitzikbo. But in the case of Peah, we're going to force him to cough up this Peah and forfeit it. Certainly beyond the shadow of a doubt, the Peah that he hasn't yet picked up, we're not going to give him a chance and a shot at picking it up. So we don't have to wait till Ba'akar Behichzikba, there's going to be a Knas. And again, we're going to discuss why there's a Knas in this case, but in any event, it's Konsin also, Minotlin also, Mimeno, Minotlin Saper Mimeno. Now, on Mishnayis Peah, we have also a Rash. If I'm not mistaken, the Rash was one of the Bali Atosvis, and he says, Rak bepeah shezorak ale ein lo bo klum, avo mashalike kvar lo hifsid. So the knas, according to the Rash Mishans, is only a partial knas, which will exclude him from that part of the peah that he tried to get a hold of, but he never, right? He never indicated it, but he went through an illegitimate method in order to acquire that peah. But the peah that he acquired legitimately, which he made. He did a Lakita, that we're not going to disturb him from. That's the Rash. But again, the other Rishonim, the Rambam, the Rashba, they're all of the opinion that this Knas goes as far, and we saw in the Maram Shif later on, that this is a Knas of Ein lo bo klum, Avir no soimeno, and we take away even that which he legitimately lifted up. Okay. The Rambam has this knas in three cases. One is Zarak, the other is Nafal, and the third is Paras Talisa. So in that sense, the Rambam is just simply codifying the Mishnah. The Rashba, on the other hand, writes that only in the case of Zarak, then we say Ein lo bo klum as a knas, and we're mafsid him even that part of the payer that he legitimately picked up. However, in the cases of Nafal, where he throws his body on the payer, or Paras Talisa Oleha, is Mavirin Osa Mimenu. In other words, he was not Zocha through Nefila or through Prisas Taliso, which would mean that if any Ani would come fast and grab onto that which is underneath his talus, or pull out what's underneath his body, they're allowed to do so. Even lechatchila, there's no inhibitions. However, im lo natlu amimenu, if nobody came along, he could be zoche in the balance of the peah. So it means the following: that there are two extremes here, according to the Rashba. The case of zarak, where he takes peah, and after he acquires the payer, he throws that payer on the rest of the Omrim with an ayin. There we go to one extreme, says the Rashba. And we have a knas in which we're going to be mafsid him, even the part that he was zocha in. Now we get to Nafal, or Paras Taliso Leo. Here the Mishnah only says Mavirno, so I mean, there's no knas, which means Mavirno, so he hasn't done a Maisa Kinyan. Anyone who comes along can take it. If he gets it first, then he makes a kinyan on it, that's fine. There's no knas. So again, the Rambam equates Zorak, Nofal, and Paras, and in all three cases, the Rambam has an extreme knas in which we even take away that which he legally made a kinyan on. And the Rashba says here's a fundamental difference between Zorak as opposed to the other cases of Nofal and Paras Taliso Oleh. Now, if you take a look at Tosfos, on the bottom of the page, Diramasal Ma'avirim, Tosfos says, Im konsono social yuchal lizkosbo, that if we're going to consent him in such a way that he's not allowed to make a zechia, then ein makom ladun im hanotla mimeni yofa osa. This whole discussion about if somebody could come along and take the payah and grab it, whether he's doing it in a way that the law, the Jewish law, approves of it, or he's not really doing it with full approval of Jewish law, that whole discussion is irrelevant, because we're going to say that this ani, even if he lifts his body up, etc., and he makes a kinyan, he's not zoch in the peah. That's called konsino social oyuchal liskospo. So again, this whole discussion about whether or not it is acceptable behavior for someone else to come along and grab the payer, which we're going to see is an ensuing discussion, that makes no sense in a case where the knas goes as far as to say that the ani himself, the original ani, is not capable of making a kinyan. We just won't allow him to make a kinyan. And even if he would, it would not be recognized as a valid kinyan. Okay, now there's another sugya here, I'm not sure if we'll have time for it, that overlaps with our sugya, that's called Ani Amahapech Becharora. So if you remind me later on, maybe I'll try to make a note of it here in my Gemara, that we should perhaps come back to this discussion.
That's what's in the Tosfot of Ma'avirim. I didn't see.
Right, that's a sugya mesechta kiddushin called. It's called Ani Amahapech Becharora.
But the other part that you were talking about in the Tosfot of Ma'avirin, I didn't see it in the Tosfot.
You didn't see it? Okay, so Bli Neder, we'll see it later on.
Talking about whether he's Nikra Rasha or not.
Right, right. Okay, let's go on. Now it says V'chein bi'omer. I would add the word shell shichacha, and the same law applies to shichacha, and it means that if the ani tries to make a kinyan on the shicha by throwing his body onto it or throwing other sheaves that he legally acquired, or he throws his talis, the same halachas apply. Alright, good. So we just learned the Mishnah in Peah with a lot of Rishonim, the Rashba, the Rambam, Tosfos. But what's got to do with our Mishnah? Or, for that matter, with Rabbi Yochanan's statement about Dalet on Amoshal Odom Konoslo? Fekter b'chiyavar Yosef I Amrit Arba Amoshal Odom Konoslo b'chol makom is Niknule Arba Amos delay. Now, I'm not exactly sure why Rabbi Chia is going to ask this question on Rabbi Yochanan from a Mishnah in Peah. Why couldn't he ask this question on Rabbi Yochanan from our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that anyone who grabs it is allowed to acquire ownership on it. Why? Because the first guy to get there fell on top of the Metziah, on top of the Hefker. What happened to Dalet Amos Shel Odom Konoslo? So let me read to you a comment here in the name of the Rimi Gash. And he writes the following. Just one second. Again, so that the Mishnah in Peah says that Mavirno so mimenu, which means that we institute a knas. Now, if he legitimately was kone the payah through Dalet Amos, then how could you impose upon him a knas? Knas is always a penalty for doing something illegitimate. But here he was kone with the kinyan arba amos.
I thought we said that there's a difference between ein lo baklum and ma'avirim osomi menu. That ein lo baklum was the knas and ma'avirim osomi menu was not the knas.
Right.
Is that correct or am I?
That is correct, but let's focus for a moment on the case of Zorak. According to all Rishonim, in the case of Zorak, he is subject to a knas. Why? If Arba Amos Shalom Konoslo, then when he was Zorek on something that was already his. He had already acquired ownership of it.
So maybe it's more than four Amos away from him.
Okay, you want to offer your own answers to the Gemara's question, but the Gemara assumes that it's hard to throw something, such a long distance of Arba Amos, in order to, and there's no reason for him to do so. Why would he stand at a distance of Arba Amos and throw it? But again, you can give your answer. I'm more interested in the Gemara's answer, but that's that's okay. So the Gemara says, "Hachamai askinon de lo omar akne." Now, as we've said a million times over, when it comes to kinyanim, the language and the instruction that you give is absolutely critical. Now, the Gemara is going to waver back and forth about the nature of the kinyan of Dalet Amos. Is it a kinyan that you have to declare you want to activate the kinyan on your own behalf, and you make a declaration, Ekne, I want my Dalet Amos to be Kona, or is the Dalet Amos automatically your Chatzer? And if it's automatically your Chatzer, then Chatzer shall Adam Kona lo Shalomi Daito. But right now the Gemara thinks that Arba Amos is something that you have to acquire, it's not automatically yours, or if you want to use the Dalet Amos to acquire something through the Dalet Amos, you have to make such a declaration. So the Gemara is not happy with this, but again, just to understand the Hamavim of the Gemara thinks that if you didn't make a declaration, and therefore there was no Ratzon, is we're not going to apply the principle of Arba Amos Konoslo. Now, it could be, I mentioned before the Rimi Gash, that there's a principle called Efshi B'Takonis Chachamim, Shomim Lo. And that's a sugya, I think, if I remember correctly, in Ksubis, in Adarim, and elsewhere, that whenever the Chacham want to give you some right, you have the right to say, I don't want it, thanks, but no thanks. Since the Rabbanon made a takana, in this case on behalf of Reuven, because Reuven is now standing in close proximity to the object which is Hefker, he, Reuven, has a right to say, Efshi b'takonas Chachamim. And this could explain the Gemara of Hachamai Askinin Delo Omar Akni. Now again, you might say, well, he didn't say Efshi, but it could be that once he does this Nefila, he is implicitly, tacitly making a statement that I don't need the Takanas Chachamim, I'm going to acquire ownership over this payah in my way, and that's going to be through Zrika and Nefila, and Priestess Talis. He says, Kasha lois kavin lo kona mishim shekinyin arba amasu takonis chachomim vea omer I efshi betakonis chachomim shomim lo ulam bevaisa kinyin do raisa im gila daito she'ein bedaito liknos bo kona afol pisha lois kavin. Now here, Rabosai, I must ask you what I consider a bomb kasha. What do you mean that if this Kenyan word to Oraisa, therefore you cannot say and declare Yefshi B'Takas Chachamim, that Afal Pi Shegila Daito She'ein B'Daito Liknos Bo Kona? What are you telling me? Every kinyan requires what we call das makna and das kona. If there's no das kona, then you cannot acquire something. You can't force me to accept ownership on something. So what do you mean that that since it's doraisa the kinyan, not in our case, then afim gila daito she'ein v'daito liknos bo, kona, he's kona. Am I talking to the wall here? You know, it's a tinus today, so I need your help. You know, this is a bit of a push for me.
So the Kenyan deraisa is an automatic Kenyan that you don't that you can't free yourself from, even if you.
Okay, listen to what he's saying here. The name, yeah. These are Rishonim. Egila daito she'ein b'daito liktos. But can you tell me where in the halachic universe? Okay, maybe get. Okay, fine. Where in the halachic universe is a person kona something without das kona? He gila daito she'ein erotzebo. Hello. Just let me know if you.
We understand.
You know. What was it say? Empathy? Remember that word, empathy? When I was a kid, they used to say sympathy. But now they have a much better word. It's much more fine-tuned. Empathy. I need empathy. Well, Bosai, we made a big mistake. We didn't understand the word bo. Let me read it to you again. He says, Bikinya doraisa im kila daito she'ein b'daito liknos bo kana. What does the word bo mean?
This object.
No. If it was the object, then we go back to my desire, my crying out for empathy. There's no such thing as acquiring ownership on an object that you don't want to be kona the object. What does the word bo mean? I'll read it one more time. I'm sorry I'm quizzing you, but I get more unknown when you're on board with me and we're doing this together. In Kenyan Doraisa, Mgila She'ein B'daito Liknos Bo Kona. What's the word bo here?
In that methodology?
Excellent. That Maisa Kinyan. There are two dimensions to a Kinyan. There's a Maisa Kinyan and there's a Chalos Kinyan. There's no doubt. This is like, you know, the Yisodei Amuna, that without Das for the Chalos Kinyan, there's no such thing as a Kinyan. There's no Das Kinyan. I'm sorry, there's no Kinyan without a Das Kona. But the Das Kona, Yesh Lachar, does the Das Kona have to be on the Maisa Kinyan or on the Chalos Kinyan? So let's say, for example, I implement a Maisa Kinyan and I say to myself, or I make a declaration to others, that I want to utilize a different method. But you already did that Maisa Kinyan. If it's Doraisa, you are Kona by virtue of the Das Kona. All you need is Das for the Chalos Kinyan. Masha Enkate, in the case of a Drabbanon, you have a right to say, meaning, as far as I'm concerned, that Maisa Kinyan is not a Maisa Kinyan. That's what I think the Rashba here, who quotes the Rimigash and others, that's what I think they have in mind. Okay. Frek the Gemara, the E Tikkun Rabbanon, if the Rabbanon made this takon of what? Of Dalet Amos Shel Odom Konoslo is Kilo Omar Mayhavi. Wouldn't the Rabbanon, we have a principle called the Tikkun Rabbanon Kein Doraisa Tikkun, that a person should be Kona even without Das. What does it mean? Even if he doesn't want this Kinyan. Because if the Kinyan would have been a Doraisa, he'd be Kona even if he doesn't want this Kinyan. Now you're telling, well, because the Takonis Chachamim, then he can reject this Kinyan.
Because it's only a Takanas Chachamim.
Oh. Yeah. But I have a feeling that the Gemara is going even a step further. The Gemara is not saying, well, let's look at every Takana Rabbanon and see if it works even without a person's agreement. And that would depend and contingent on whether or not it's Ke'en Doraisa Tikkun. We go back to the original Doraisa. I don't think that's what's happening in this Gemara. I think what's happening in this Gemara is the Gemara is trying to understand the nature of the Kinyan which was established by the Chachamim as Dalet Amos Konoslo, and why did they make that Takana? And the very reason why they made that Takana is going to define the nature of the of the takana. Why do they want the takana? What were they trying to avoid? Le'in suye, correct? Le'in suye. They were trying to avoid battles. So what are they going to say? They're going to say that that we are being besaken, that you could acquire ownership over the Dalet Amos if you so desire. You make a declaration, I want to be coded Dalet Amos. That's not going to achieve our goal. Our goal is that if you got there first, you are coded. And that's going to achieve the goal of avoiding anarchy and altercations. So therefore, it makes sense, says the Gemara, that within the context of this Takonis Chachamim and Hefker Bezin Hefker, even if he doesn't, make a statement, well, I want to acquire this object through Dalet Amos, it would still be his. And let's sort of water it down a little bit. Maybe I'm saying it too extreme. Forget about the case of Efshi B'Takonis Chachamim. Let's talk about a case where a person is neutral. He has no mindset whatsoever. He comes into a place, and there's hefker, there's payer there, and it's within his Dalet Amos. Wouldn't it make sense that the Chacham would say that he automatically makes this kinyan, even if he hasn't yet declared that he wants the Dalet Amos? We don't need him to make that declaration. I'm on board. You have my full backing, my full approval. I want to now acquire Dalet Amos and activate my rights to Dalet Amos. Even in the absence of that statement, the Rabbanan should say that automatically it's his. Why is it his? To lo asi lin suye, to avoid altercations. And for the Gemara name, if he came into these Dalet Amos with a neutral mindset, you're right, you're 100% correct. He would be Kona the Metzia even without declaring that I'm pressing my button, I'm activating my rights to Dalet Amos. But Kavan did Nafal, he decides that he doesn't want to be Kona with Dalet Amos. He wants to be Kona with Nefila. The Nefila Nichole did Likni. He has an advantage to being Kona Benefila, but Arba Amos Lo Nichole Delikni, and therefore we're going to activate the principle of Ha'omer Efshi B'Takonis Chachomim Shomim Lo. So the Gemara vacillates from the Havamina to the Maskona. In the Havamina, the Gemara thinks that since the Rabbana made a Takon of Dalet Amos Konos Lo, we have no way of understanding the Mishnah Peah that says that Zorak is Mavino Soimena. Why? He should be coded with Dalet Amos. How is Rabbi Yochanan with his Dalet Amos going to square? I'm sorry, I'm a Kohen Bardla with his Kenya, his Takoda Dalet Amos going to square off with the Mishnah in Peah.
How can you say that you don't want this Takana when the Takana is for the purpose of Shelo Yavoli and Suye? Are you implicitly saying that you're looking for trouble?
Just one second. You're 100% right, but you're just one step ahead of me. I'm behind you, so I'm going to try to catch up to you. So again, the Gemara in the Havamina thinks that there's an irreconcilable contradiction between the Mishnah in Peah and the statement of Abba Kohen Bardola. If there's a Takon of Dalet Amos, so what difference it make whether or not he was Zorek or this, that, or the other thing? What do you mean by Virno Soy? But he was coded with Dalet Amos. And for the Gemara, you're right. As far as the Kenyan Dalet Amos, I don't need his thumbs up that he would have to press a button and actively declare, I approve. That I don't need. He walks into Dalet Amos and he's coded. But if he makes a decision that he doesn't want the Takonis Chachomim, that this Takon is being made on his behalf so that he can make a kinyan and no one else would have the chutzpah of grabbing it from him, he has the right to say, I don't want the Takonis Chachomim. Thanks, but no thanks. And therefore, once he does a nefila, is then he reveals and objectifies his desire to activate a kinyan nefila and to reject the Takonis Chachamim. Comes along Yosef and he asks the following question. don't know if I should call you rabbi, doctor, or both. You know, but what was the famous joke that he used to say about the rabbi doctor thing? Remember, there was like a joke that if you, you know, if he's as good as medicine as he is as rabbonis, it's not too good. You know, the rabbi doctor joke. That's, you know, they say that the Rogachev was once walking down the streets of Dvinsk, and they saw a notice on the wall that somebody had passed away, and it said Hagoyin Hatzadik. So he said, if his tzidkus is like his gaonis, it's very, very bad. Because, you know, from the Rogachev's perspective, nobody knew anything. Getting back to our sugya here, so the Goyin, Hagoyin Ha'adir, Rabbi Yosef asks the following question. He says, wait a minute, the whole purpose of the Takana is to rectify society. You know, we have to get society in mind here. So Joe Plony is going to say, well, I don't want this Takonis Chacham. So at the end, you're going to undermine the whole purpose of the Takonis Chacham. Did I say it right? Yeah. The answer is...
You don't have the right to say Yiv Shigil Takonis.
So I think it depends on how you understand Dalet Amos Konos Lo. If we're going to understand that the Rabbanon made this abstract kinyan called Dalet Amos, and therefore they said that any person who walks within Dalet Amos, he has that chotzer, he has that kinyan power... And they did it on a global way, in an abstract, conceptual world, even before we get to Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, then you're right, Yosef. Nobody should have a right to say, I don't want this Takana. The Takana was already established. And the formulation of Takana was, anybody who walks anywhere, he carries with him a radius of a Chatzar Dalet Amos. And that's the way they established the protection of society. Or do you say no? When they established Dalet Amos, they established it as a Zchus Kniya, which means that Reuven, Shimon, and Levi have the rights to use the Dalet Amos and establish their kinyan. No one's going to fight with them because they've established themselves as, I want to be Kona the object. If the kinyan was not an abstract, that any Dalet Amos is Kona for anybody whenever he walks, wherever he walks, then you're right. Maybe there's no possibility of rejecting the Takonis Chachamim. But if the background was to create harmony in society, but the Takonah itself, the mechanics of the Takonah, was that every person is going to be Kona his Dalet Amos when he arrives at the Dalet Amos, and the Rabbanon is saying, you know what, I'm going to do you a great favor, here's a boon. You, Reuven, are going to now be able to say that you acquired ownership of any object within Dalet Amos because you got there first. No one's going to be able to take it away from you. And now go ahead and make a kinyan through Dalet Amos, if that's the way they did it, not in a global fashion. That may have been their motivation. But the Takana itself and its gedder was that each person individually sets up his own Dalet Amos, and that's what the Rabbanon are allowing him to do, to acquire ownership in public areas and make it into your chatzer. He has a right to say, like he could do with any kinyan, with any schus that the Rabbanon gave him, Efshi v'takonis chacham. So I'll give you an example. Yosef, what would you say? Let's learn a little bit of Masechta Ksubas for a moment. Right, the Gemara says that in order to guarantee harmony in the house, we're going to have what's called a quid pro quo relationship in Ksuba. He's going to provide the support, that's called Mizonos, and she's going to say that all Hamaisi Yadayim go to him. Which means that the peace and the harmony of the marriage is going to be the fact that if she, inherits some money, or she works and she gets a salary, or she finds a great mitzia, she's going to be willing to forfeit that through the ksuba to him because he's supporting her on a daily basis. Now she comes along and she goes to graduate school, she gets a PhD in psychology, and she's a shrink, and she gets paid $500 for listening, okay? I wonder if all those shrinks are listening. You know my father's famous story that they come over to the psychiatrist and say, after all this listening, aren't you depressed? You've heard everyone's sorrows. So he says, who's listening? The thing about my father's Zichron Baruch is when he cracked the joke, he laughed more than anyone else did. Anyway, so getting back to this, so she says, you know what? I'm a shrink. I'm getting good bucks. You know what? You take your mezonos and I'll keep my maisi adayim. She may have children from another marriage, or she has ideas about what to do with the money. You know, do you gentlemen know what the word knipple means?
Sure. She put money on the side.
Yeah, so she's a psychiatrist. She's making a $500,000 a year. She puts it on the side because she wants to go to Las Vegas. He's not interested in Las Vegas. You know, she's got her own knipple. So the Gemara says that Omer efshi v'takonis chachomim shomim lo. So even though, again, in the framework of marriage and harmony, this is the way the takona of Ksuba was envisioned. We're holding now that Ksuba is the Rabbanon, or at least that aspect of Ksuba is coined to everyone is the Rabbanon. Which means my siyadeh keneged mizonos tachas mizonos, she can decide that, you know, okay, that's very good globally. This is your a picture, an ideal concept, you know, abstract marriage, psychological. But my situation is different. I don't want thanks, but no thanks. All right. So now we turn the page and we're on Daf Yud Amud Beis. Okay. So after one answer to the Gemara's Kasha, of Chiyas Kasha, and the answer is that since he fell on the Peah, he has declared in effect that he's not interested in the Takonas Kachom of Dalet Amos. We have another answer in the name of Rav Papa. Ki takinu le Rabbanon arba Amos bi Alma. Alma means in Rishus HaRab, where anyone could go there. But in the case b'sadu de balabayis, lo takinu le rabbanon, a man is an ani nebuch, and he goes into the field of this rich guy Reuven, and he wants to collect his payah. Is there a takana here that Reuven is, so to speak, makne, part of his own personal sada to this ani, because the ani now has dalet amos? Can you claim a radius of Dalet Amos is your chatzah within a chatzah that belongs to someone else, says Rav Papa Nein. The Rabbanan never went that far in this takana. So therefore, when the ani comes in to the son of the Balabayis, and he wants to wave the flag of the takanas chacham of Kinyan Dalet Amos, we shut him up. And we say, you cannot be kona with Dalet Amos. Try something else. And what does he try? Nefila, that was a big mistake. Now, what areas come under this description called the Alma? First is a Rishus HaRabim. Then we have something called Sidei Rishus HaRabim. Then we have a third area which is called a Simta Shel Rabim. So Simta Shel Rabim, more or less, is an area that's designated for anyone of the passers-by to use that area for whatever reason. Like, let's say, for example, they're carrying heavy wares in wagons and there's not enough room. It's a tight alleyway. So they offer him a simta and he can go in there and he can do whatever he has to do. Or, for example, sometimes people have to do private things and they find themselves in public areas, so they give him a simta. And a simta is a place, bi'alma meaning that anyone has rishus to use that area.
So it's not a crowded place. It's not a place where a lot of people are found.
Right. Well, Sidei Rishus HaRabim is more complicated because there it's the spill-off of the Rishus HaRabim. So that's in the middle between Simta and Rishus HaRabim. Yeah. Simta is probably only occupied when someone has the need, a specific need to go into the Simta. And once he goes into the Simta, he has rishus to go in there. However, here we're talking about a Sada de Balabais. Now, Rabosai, what's the status of a Sada de Balabais? Can anyone go in there? For sure not. That would be trespassing. However, in the case of Peah, yeah, the Ani automatically has rishus to go in there. So would it be that when the Chachom made the Takon of Dalet Amos, they said X, that certain areas of off-limits, they don't have Kinyan Dalet Amos, or are they saying that any area which you don't have Rishus to go into, that's excluded from Dalet Amos? And then Afkamina is going to be the case of Peah, because since the Ani has rights to go in there, therefore one might conclude that the Kinyan of Dalet Amos would operate. Comes along with a puppet, he says, nay, that's not true. When you have an area which is privately owned, even if you give someone rishus to go in there, nevertheless, the Balabayis owns that area, and the Chachomim are not going to be makna that area through the Takon of Daladamas to anyone who goes in. So even if he's allowed to go in there. Let's go a step further. What happens if I own a field and I invite you to come into the field specifically to make a kinyan on a certain object? Let's say there's a mitzvah that's lying in my field, and I invite you and I say, Rabbi Yid, come in and make a kinyan. Even in such a case, Rav Pop insists, there's no takon of dalet amos. If I invite you to come in, you're allowed to come in. I say to you, make a kinyan on it, you can make a kinyan on it. But you cannot be koneh through dalet amos. And therefore the ani, even though he's invited to enter into the field, and for the express purpose of being zocha in the payah, that's what his right is, nevertheless, if it's a sod of the balabayas, it's mufka from the takona of dalet amos koneh. So that's what the Gemara points out now. The afagav de zocha le'rachmona begavah, even though the Torah gave the Ani full rights to enter into the field of the Balabais to collect the payah, in fact, the Balabais would not be allowed to lock up his field and prevent the Ani from coming in, but nevertheless, ki zocha le'rachmona, the Torah gave him rishus, la'aluchibe ulenekute payah, he can go in there, he can walk around the field in such a way that he gets access to the payah, but le'mehevi chatzero lo zocha le'rachmona. And again, we're going to apply the principle of called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Doraisa. Tikkun, the Takon of Dalet Amos, patterns itself and mirrors the image of the Doraisa, and there's no Kinyan Chatzer in this case, because clearly it's the Balabayas who owns the field. Now, if the Balabayas would rent out the field to the Ani, and the Ani would acquire a Kinyan in the Gufa Karka, then it would be a Chatzer Shel Shutfim, which could operate on behalf of one shutif to the other. We both shutfim in a karka. I can put an object down on this karka, and I own the karka just as much as you do, and I can be machni the object through the chotzer, because you're also a shutif in the chotzer. That's not the case that we're dealing with now. So he writes here that lo lekol echad yesh reshus likaris l'sham, v'afilu im ha-metzia, shu rotza lizkos bov a kinyin arba amos, ain't a knuya lebal asodah, the bal asodah can't make a kinyin, let's say in the case of peah. Or for example, let's say the sodah would be a sodah she'ena mishtameres lebaila, which would mean that during certain times of the year, anybody is allowed to enter into the sode of his friend. That's called Yemos HaChama. Again, all this is sugyas later on in Masechet Bava Metzia. Or even in the case, just 1 second. I missed a word here. Just 1 second. Kigon sode. Ah. So let's say you have a sodah she'ena mishtameres lebailo, which means that as far as chotzer is concerned, that sodah could not function as a chotzer on behalf of its own baal, and he cannot be coded an object in a chotzer she'ena mishtameres. Nevertheless, he owns the karka. And if he owns the karka, it's privately owned land, and there's no din of takonis arba avos. Avo, okay, I missed the word avo, sorry. B'yemos hachama, during the winter months, sheyesh rishus lekol echad lahalich besodah chavero, yesh kinyan arba amos v'chein besodah shel hefker. Okay, we'll take a break now, and I'll make a note to myself where we got up to, and the Birtz Hashem, we'll finish this tomorrow. Okay then.